Well, amen. That's a good sermon right there. And I like the closing prayer because that was everything you need to know right there. Isn't that good? Good. You guys going, for real? No. Not your greatest wish, okay? I'm going out swinging anyway. You know, everything that it's just a weird part of my life is like, this is, you know, your last time to be here, your last time to be here, this is the last. I'm like, I just want you to understand this. When I go, I'm going to be the greatest to my ability, the servant to my pastor, wherever he is. I'm going to be doing anything I can to back him up. I'm not going to say I've been a pastor this long. I'm not going to go say I did this. I'm not going to be nothing. I'm just going to go and serve however I can. And I don't want anybody to know anything about the past. I just want to serve them right. So I want you to understand is retirement is for a Christian is never to retire. You know, I figured that one day I'd just croak here and y'all go, Sam, the dude is dead. Well, put him in a wheelchair, we'll roll him around for a while and act like he's still alive. Oh. But life has a way of changing stuff, and you just have to learn to roll with it best you can, right? And we will never forget each other. We'll always love each other. And every once in a while, I'll sneak down to see if you're still here. If you're not, I'll come to your house and shoot you. In love. Sorry, Penny and Frank. Hank, I did their wedding, and you should have seen it. I pulled out a gun, a fake gun. Well, you know, I wasn't a very good preacher, but I kept everybody's attention. That's right. And I pulled it out and I said, until death do you part. And if there's a problem, I will come to the house, figure out which one of you is the problem, and shoot you so the other one's free. We don't believe in divorce. We believe in murder. Oh, you should have seen the people. They're like, they were wondering about Hank and Penny, like, what kind of fruitcake did you get here? I come in vanilla, that's it, you know. Anyway, today, you know, it's almost the day. I mean, you know, guys are going, thank God he's gone. You know, so anyway, you just have to suffer with me until we get this thing done. But I'm thinking next Sunday is going to be the last one for me for a while. I'll call Pastor Phil and say, you know, you get a big enough offering and I'll come down. Come on, you got to work with me. You got to. So anyway, today I want to talk to you because I've really been wondering about what to say to you about, life and what's going on, but I just thought about 1 Corinthians 15 chapters, longest chapter in the 1 Corinthians, longest one, and it talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it really wants to inform us what hope we have, what a thrill's gonna be, and what we have to expect from God. Because it's just like after this service, I'm gonna talk to people who are gonna be baptized, and I want them to understand what's gonna happen and how it happened, and they're not shocked or surprised and anything like that, or embarrassed in any way. I don't want that. That's what I'm going to do after this service. You say, well, aren't you going to go outside? No, I'm going to go in the back and talk to them. And then, you know, you see me. I take a picture of me, and you can put it up in the garden. Keeps bugs away and stuff. Tony. But I want to make sure I do that for them to make sure. Because next Sunday we're going to have services and then baptism. Then we're going to have free food. Lord have mercy. And I was talking to one of the young people back there. And I said, you can have all the hamburgers and hot dogs you can eat for free. Well, that's a good church right there. Anyway, I want to talk to you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand is that in the Gospels, we understand after Jesus raised from the dead, he was able to do some really amazing things. He came in a body like us, right? I mean, the human body is really, as you get older, realize it's frail. I mean, if I didn't have a doctor's appointment, I wouldn't have an appointment at all. And they want to look at every part I got. I go, let me keep some dignity here. Anyway, somebody says, oh, it's golden years. I want to poke them in the eye. No golden nothing. The golden is when you're young and you can run all over and jump everything. And right now I have to have help to step on the curb. I mean, it's not golden. You got gold when you're young, and then you got silver, and then you get bronze, and then you get dirt. And it's just a dirt pile. So don't let anybody kid you. I mean, that's really exciting, isn't it? And everybody's different because there's some people, you know, they're older and they just have so much energy. I'm like, what drug are you taking? Could I get some? Anyway, but you know, life has its challenges and you just grin and do your best to represent Christ. Even when you don't like to. You ever done that? Smile at somebody you didn't even like. You know, like, okay. Who's in control? God is. Not you, God. And God says, I want you to act like me. Not you, me. And that's a lot of processing right there. Because I can point some of you out, you really need help. But, oh, that was first service, not you. You guys are second. You're the best. So I thought about talking about the resurrection, and Jesus Christ's body was amazing, wasn't it? You remember the disciples in the upper room, the 11? Judas was gone. And Jesus was gone. And they thought they were going to die. The Romans were going to kill them. And they were in an upper room. And they locked the doors and everything. And scared to death. And Jesus walked right through the door. Now that's cool, isn't it? Boy, if I had a resurrected body right now, I would freak some of you guys right out of your skin. Wouldn't that be cool? Hey, take a shower. What's happening? You say, well, Vernie, that's kind of weird. Well, see, when you die and you go to heaven, There is no marriage anymore. Do you understand that? Don't get excited. Some of you get excited, you get in trouble. You lose lunch. I'm just telling you, it's a bad situation because I've lost a lot of lunches right now. But there's no wedding marriage thing in heaven. You're just an individual. You love the person there. You know them. And you say, well, how do you know the person that you know here? Well, if you remember the Mount of Transfiguration, just act like you know, because I've been here so long, I've said it so many times. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of this mountain, and he wanted them to see something about himself, and he began to reveal himself. And he pulled back his flesh, which I don't even understand how that worked. And he showed himself as God. See, you thought as a man, I am God. And Moses and Elijah were there. I mean, they were way, way, way Old Testament saints. And everybody says, well, how do you know who is who? You will look the same way you look now, except younger, skin tighter. Amen. An LA Fitness looking body, okay? You say, well, I need to lose weight. You won't have to. It'll all be just awesome. Isn't that good? You got a little bit of a gut, don't worry about it. It's going to go, and it's gone. Kind of encouraging to me. It's kind of. And you're going to probably have big old muscles, you know. But everybody else will too, and it won't be amazing. Will you stop it? Where's the mirror at? I want to look at myself. Yeah, pretty amazing thing. So in this Corinthians passage, he talks about the resurrection of Christ and all that Jesus did. And he's wanting us to understand that the same thing is going to happen to us one day. And I wanted to show you, and there's a whole lot. I mean, it's many verses, but I really want to cut down just the last part of this verse to really make sense, but I'm going to share some stuff before. And Jeff, I'm praying for you, buddy. He's going to have hip surgery tomorrow. I heard it's a piece of cake, so just go with it. Yeah. Bill sitting behind you knows it's a piece of cake. Right, Mary? Mary had too, so she knows what's going on. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, Well, you know, I'm about to walk out the door, and I told Rosie, I said, this week's been so crazy. The more I want to slow down, the faster it gets. The phone is like something from hell. You know, when you're trying to study the scripture and you're interrupted, I don't know, if you're smart, you may be able to do it, but I'm not. I'm like, okay, where was I? Okay, now I got to read again. I read again. Then I read a commentary. I read something else. I read. And I'm trying to figure out how to share it in a way that makes sense. Because, you know, you can read it and it's like, what does that mean? To me, that's just my way. And I'm just trying to figure out how to make it as simple and as easy to understand. And then I get interrupted. And yet, it's not interrupted because it's God's will. So what you're getting today is shake and bake. So don't get all excited. But it is irritating to me when I'm trying. I remember this one pastor, he had an office, and on the outside of the door is a red light. And when he had the red light on, it meant he was studying, don't interrupt him. I should have got a red light on my office. I think about Jesus Christ. He never had anything like that. Can you imagine his days of once people understood how powerful he was, how they were around him all the time? Crowds would come and he would heal people. He would feed them. He couldn't even get alone by himself. And I'll just share with you the truth because I'm not going to be here anyway. I can tell you whatever. I might as well. I love people. I love them. I would serve them as long as I could stay awake, okay? But there is a point where I have to get away from people to keep my senses. And that's kind of weird, but it is so true in my life. It's kind of like I can build up again, so I can minister to people again. I'm recharged. Yeah, it's like I need like 440, not 220, not 110. I need a bunch. But that's why I take naps all the time and I do all kinds of stuff. I'm recharging. Could you tell Sharon that today? You tell her everything else. Could you tell her that? You know, when I preach first service, I don't have a note way, okay? You know, A, B, C, D, E, F. Every time I do that, I don't. I have a Vernie way, and it's kind of mixed, okay? Yeah, you don't know. Anyway, I was thinking about a friend of mine because I've heard so many stories about people's lives and it's just beautiful. Their lives are beautiful to me. And they let me get a chance to be a part of their life, which I love. You know, I get truckers that talk about fifth wheel, and I'm thinking, yeah, you're nuts. A fifth wheel. I've looked all over a truck and no fifth wheel. But I was a dummy. I didn't understand what they were talking about. Well, I had a guy here who was an electrician, and years ago, we rewired the building. I don't know if you know that or not. And we didn't have many laborers, except... So I really didn't know exactly how to wire stuff up. And, you know, electricity is not something you want to play with, right? So I would have him come here in the morning, and he would draw out on the concrete out in front when it was concrete, and he would show me, okay, take wire this and a red and a green and, you know, and a white and pull them and pull them through this line and pull them out and get them all set up. And he'd tell me everything I was supposed to do. So I would do that all day, and then in the evening, he would come by after work, and he would examine what I'd done to make sure it was okay. That's good, isn't it? You haven't burned down yet. That's good. So anyway, I was talking to him one day, and he was telling me a story about himself, and he was working for an electrician company, and they're doing supermarkets. And he was in this supermarket, and it was a brand new one, and they had a room in the back of the building, and it was all concrete, no windows, no nothing, and you open the door, and it's sealed, and it's totally black. When you turn the lights on, you could see in the room, and just had big boxes of electrical plugs and breakers. Hey, don't think I don't know something. And they brought a lot of power in that, like 440. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but I really don't know anything either. But anyway, I know that the 220 lines are running real high on the poles, and then they're switched to transformer, and it transformed them to 110 so we don't kill ourselves when we tell our kids to stick the screwdriver in the plug. Because in all other countries I've ever been in, they all have 220. And dude, if you get 220, it can kill you pretty quick. Well, he's in this room, and he's by himself, and the lights are on. And, you know, even the guys that know what they're doing can mess up. Isn't that true? Oh, I know everything. I always love people being stupid. Don't be stupid. You know it, but you have to be careful and respect electricity, or it will demand it from you. So anyway, he's working, and he got a screwdriver, and he's putting it in there, and he knows that he's not supposed to touch certain things, and he knows that. But he did. 440. Was the grace of God, 440 usually just fries you alive right there. You're holding a screwdriver, and that's the last picture they have of you. A little darker color, but anyway, he stuck it in, and he got shocked really bad. And instead of it, usually electricity holds you because your muscles tighten up and then you get fried, okay? But he stuck the screwdriver in, and by some weird thing, it threw him back across the room, up against the wall on the other side. Yeah, he became very spiritual. Well, what happened is that the manager of the store realized the lights are all out. What the heck's going on? So they're kind of walking around to see, and they know that he's there working. So they go to the back of the building. Well, he's laying there in this room, and remember the doors are closed, and it's just a concrete, no light, blackout room. You can't even see your hand kind of thing. He wakes up and he says, "Oh, I went to hell." That's the first thought he had. That's what made him so spiritual at church. Because he had an experience of thinking he might be in hell. And I talked to him about Jesus. Isn't that good? Anyway. And so the manager of the store came back there and found, and he kind of finally got to his senses and got to the door and realized he hadn't gone to hell. He's still alive. And he was really a giver and a faithful servant in church. Let me say it again. You didn't get it. He's a great giver and a servant in church. Anyway, he was a great guy. He told the story, and it was awesome learning about, and, you know, talking about mistakes, even though sometimes you know stuff, you touch something you shouldn't, you know. And even as Christians, we're learning this is what God wants us to do, and sometimes we don't do it right. And that's why we're here to go, you know, I need to work on that part. I need to do this and do that right. Remember Ten Commandments? Yeah. Charlton Heston? Come on, if you haven't seen that show, you're just a loser. Just tell me. Well, Ten Commandments are pretty powerful commands because they require death. You break it, you die. Well, nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. I would say raise your hand if you think you can, but you just lied when you raise your hand. Liar. Okay, so in this, it has a whole bunch of stories into it, and I can't go through all of it, but I'm going to share a few of them with you about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he talks about this thing about the law and death and all that. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. something you didn't know, 1 Corinthians, ever before. You see, when you die, you don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you the secret. This is what God promises. And the understanding is God doesn't break a promise. You can take this to the bank. You can live with it forever, holding on to it. All right, so he says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. He goes, what do you mean we'll not all sleep? Well, when they transferred the Greek word over, they didn't want it sounding like that Christian people died. Even though they physically died, actually they were called being asleep because they were alive someplace else. You understand that? Because actually, Christian or lost, you live forever somewhere. God just gives you the opportunity through his Son to live in heaven forever. Now, if you don't go to heaven forever, it's because you chose to go to hell. No, I want to go to hell. You live here long enough and you're like, I don't really want to go to hell. Come back in summer. We won't turn the air on. You think, it used to be that way here. There's no air conditioner, swamp. We're like living in hell. When I preached on hell, everybody was like, yes. And I always preach real short sermons. So it was. He's just saying is we will not all sleep because it's all Christians. A Christian was like, if you had your child lay down and they were taking a nap, you as a mama, you walk in and you check on them. And if you see their chest moving, you don't worry about it. Right? Right, mamas?
Yeah, right.
Okay, now you understand that. That's what Sharon does. She walks in and goes, but we will be changed. There you go. LA Fitness change. I mean, super human bodies. I would love to have that. It's like Paul said, is, you know, I know that I'm going to die soon, but I, you know, I'm mixed between the two because to live is to help you to grow. To die is good gain for me. So sometimes I find myself saying to God is, you know that rapture thing? I know it's going to happen soon. You know, you could speed that up. Like real quick. We'll change. We'll have a super body. We won't need doctors. We won't need glasses. We won't have to worry about curbs. Oh, it'll be just amazing thing to be. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. I just try to explain this. Because, you know, I don't know if you know this. I studied Okie, but I also studied English. And verbs, nouns, pronouns, adjectives. You know, I know a little bit about those things. Because I had to learn those things again to understand Greek. Isn't that stupid? Just teach me the Greek. Well, you have to understand English. Well, that's going to be a trip. But as we were studying the Greek language and trying to understand, the Greek is real straightforward, but it's hard to take a language like Greek and put it into English with the same power of that word. Some of you have studied languages, and you can say it in this language, and it's super powerful, but you can say it in English, and it's like, okay. Well, in the Greek, when it says, when a flash, a twinkling of an eye, it means it's such a speed that cannot even be measured. But they said, well, it means this in the Greek, a clearer way. It means a fluttering, one flap of a gnat's wing. That's pretty quick. I don't know if you know that or not. The twinkling of an eye, your eye is fast, right? So they try to translate it so I'd be able to explain it. But when the rapture comes, you don't have time to pack. Some of you be driving down the street worrying about the keys in your pocket and the keys in your car and everything, you know, your cell phone. In a twinkling, in a flap of an gnat's wing, you'll be in heaven. Put a note in your car. It's yours. Whoever finds it, right? Because someday my clothes will be laying there on the ground. Everybody go, and his wallet's here. And the keys to his car. It's yours. You can take the keys back to the house and have a party. Not going to be a fun party for you, but I'm just saying is the rapture is going to be very rapid, and we're all going to go. Isn't that good? Trust me, I'd rather have the rapture part than the dying part. Right? Because, you know, everybody's going to die someday. Ain't that good news? Come to church and be excited. And the pastor says something stupid. But it's true. It's a part of life that we have to live it. So he says the trumpet will sound. Well, a lot of people say, oh, that's a revelation, the last trumpet. No. No, Revelation is a whole different ball game than this one. This trumpet is sound when the conqueror enters. I won. Okay? So when the trumpet sounds, we will be snatched out of here, and then we will be with those people that have our loved ones that are already gone to heaven. And we will know them. We'll see them. We'll recognize them. Our feelings would be different. Isn't that weird? You remember when you were a kid and they said, you're going to move out one day. We're going to make sure you move. And you're saying as a kid, and I'm never going to move. I'm here. And then you get to a certain age, isn't that true? And you can't wait to get out of here. The chick is always telling me what to do. That was my mama. I can't be careful. But I had to listen to her. And, you know, she was a little irritating. But I wouldn't say anything to her. Because we didn't have Delta Dental at the time. And you could be hurt. At this trumpet, he says the dead will be raised imperishable. It means first, it's going to happen so fast, it's not even comprehensible. What happens is the dead in Christ, their souls are in heaven, right? When a Christian dies, their soul goes to heaven. Their body lays there on the ground. That was the house they lived in. Somebody says, well, you know, we don't want to cremate anybody. I go, why not? And they go, you're the pastor. You shouldn't say that. I go, why? If I put you in a box or put you in a jar, you're going to end up the same way anyway. And if you don't want to cost the family a gazillion bucks, let's put you in a jar. We can even set you on the mantle. And if we go deep sea fishing, we can kind of like spread you out. You say, well, it'll be a hard thing for God to bring us back together. What kind of a moron do you argue? God knows everything there is to know. more than our little computers can even handle. And he's telling us this mystery, saying, I want you to understand this. The dead will rise first. Imperishable. That means you can't be hurt anymore. How's that? You can't emotionally be hurt again. You can't have a broken arm. You can't have a problem. You don't even have to go to the doctor again. Yeah. Am I saying too much personal stuff? I mean, I need to see. But as I talked to Rosie this week, I don't really give a rip. If you don't like it, tough, live it. With. I love you, but, you know, I am what I am. That's what it is. The dead rise imperishable and will be changed. L.A. Fitness. Isn't that awesome? I said before is that when Jesus was on Mount Transfiguration, he knew Moses and Elijah. He knew them by how they looked, who they were. Because guess what? You are a masterpiece of God. Don't let anybody tell you you're ugly. Because they're dumb. There's nobody like you. Some of you were very thankful. You're a creation of God, and you will look the same way in heaven, but maybe a little tighter skin, a little beautiful more. You don't use cream at night or anything like that. Not like I know. If Sharon says it helps her, I mean, I'm in there. Because, you know, at my age, stuff sags. You guys don't. Says you'll be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. Don't you like people who will sit next to you with clean clothes on? Just want to say. And it's like changing clothes. We change from this body to the brand new body instantly, before we can even think. And he says, it clothes itself with imperishable. An immortal must put on immortality. How long are you going to live? Forever. 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 How long are you going to be a jerk? Not long. When you're saved, guess what? You get real smart and you get to heaven. Isn't that good? And we learn so much quicker in heaven. Can you imagine being able to talk with Jesus? You know, slap Adam on the head? You're not too biblical, I understand. It's by, the Bible says in this chapter, by one man's sin, sin entered to the world, so everybody became sinners. You know, I've talked to people and they go, well, I'm not that bad. And I go, you bad. I mean, even when I was a little bitty guy, some of the things I remember when I was a youth was the terrible things I did. I mean, not too bad, but. You know, me learn fire. You know, stuff. It's crazy. Imperishable. He says, Adam's sin, sin was coming to the world. So everybody was born after Adam. I don't know anybody before Adam. Do you? No. Everybody born after Adam were born in sin. Don't you just hate that? And then he said, by one man's death and resurrection, Christ, can all be saved. Somebody says, how hard is it to get saved? As easy as it is to be in sin? You just have to be born. And you're a sinner. we say Christianity, you are born again, is when you accept the second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, and now you're saved. Say, well, I don't know a whole lot. God knows. But just do the faithful little things you're supposed to be doing right. You know what's right or wrong. Somebody says, well, I don't know. Yes, you do, because the Bible says in Romans that God wrote it within our heart what is right and wrong. Whether you read the Bible or not, you go, well, Bernie, I don't get it. Okay, here. Play a board game with your kids when they're young. Some kind of board game. You know, like with marbles and boards, which I hate. My family always wants to play aggravation or some stupid board game thing, and I don't want to play, but my wife's there, and I have to play. I said, rolling dice is not really spiritual. That didn't get me out of it. Dice are not spiritual or unspiritual. It's how you use it makes it good or bad. But you can take your kids and play a game and show them how this rules are and then cheat. I mean, that's what good parents do. We cheat. I mean, you teach them how to play and you go, oh, look at that. I rolled this number. That means I get to do 12 places. You never get that roll like that. Kids pick up cheating quickly, don't they? Look at me. You guys look at me like, yeah. They never been taught any more than a simple little board game. But they know what's right and wrong, what's fair and not fair. They may not practice it, but they know. You know, when they do wrong, you say, you know you did that. That was not right. And then we try to lie, right? That's the first thing. I know. Yeah, you knew. Yeah. Okay, what's the punishment? Dishes the rest of the year. Oh, man. So we have a dishwasher, isn't it? But not in my house. A dishwasher is something you look at and you put clean dishes in it. Is that not? Here's my deal is, I use a dish, okay, it's enough for me not to not stack it up. I put it in there. And Sharon says, oh, no. You got to rinse it off and then put it in there. I go, why would we even buy it? If I've rinsed it, cleaned it all off, I should just dry it, stick it back up in the shelf. How stupid can you get? We still do it her way. We rinse them off. I try to stack them in the sink because at our house we have a little sticker on the dishwasher and one side at the top says dirty, and if you turn over, it says clean. Clean means you don't put anything in it. I learned. Isn't that good? Because you put dirty things in with clean, you got to clean them again. I mean, if your wife's got a sticker for you in your home, you know, you might not be all that in a bag of chips, but, you know. I shouldn't say any more. Let's move forward. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortal, the mortal, then the saying is written, will come true. Death has been what? Up in victory. Means there is no dying again. No separation again. Some of us have been separated from our loved ones because of death, and it is painful. One day there'll never be death again. That's what he's saying. Isn't that awesome? You'll have to put up with me forever. And you're probably so lucky that wherever I get stuck in heaven, you'll have to be there. You're like, oh, geez. Where, O death, is the victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Because death is a stinger. A sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. I mean, if we didn't know God's commands or what he said, we wouldn't know right and wrong unless he wrote it in our heart and he put it in a book for us to read. He said, don't do that. No stealing. No stealing. You can't steal. Do you have to teach your kids when they're young not to steal? Look at me. Yeah. Because they're little, you know, stealers. And they'll take stuff they don't even need. Why is that? Because they're sin. I mean, I don't know anything. I just read books, okay? So he says, the law teaches us what's right or wrong. But thanks be to God, he gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the point. All my life, I've been trying to do one thing is help people understand Christ, and you need to know him. And the following is hard, but you can work on it. You'll be better. It takes time. You don't get there automatically. It's kind of like a child I saw in the car the other day. He was in the car, and he got scolded because he'd done something. He had attitude. You ever have attitude? Some of you have had attitude. I've seen you. I've stood out there, and you just walk right to your car with your tongue hanging out for some reason. I don't know what to do. Well, anyway, he had an attitude. So, you know, me and the pastor, I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, I know you got in trouble, but I was trying to encourage him, and I said, hey, where's the smile? And he's like, well, I know smiling. I poked you in the eye. You know, he's had an attitude. You ever had an attitude? Yeah. And Jesus says, change that attitude. And you go, yeah. Is there not things scripturally you're supposed to do that you don't feel it? Hello? Is there some people that's hard to love? God said, love them. Today? Don't you struggle with feeling? I don't feel it. God says, I don't care how you feel. You do what I tell you to do. And that's what the mama done to the young boy. And so I said in the car, I said, now what would Jesus want you to do? You know, he wouldn't want you to act like that. He's like, I said, come on, give me a smile. Let's change that attitude. And he went, if you'll just shut up and leave me alone, I'll smile. You know how that is? Attitude? Yeah, we all struggle with an attitude at times, don't we? Not me, but I know you do. So the victory of attitude is with Jesus. My mama, I just want to share with you. You could have a bad attitude, but not with my mama. She'd say, you better straighten that attitude out. And that means you only had a few moments. And after a couple of times of not, you learn to smile. You learn to be an actor. Do you understand how to be? Your kids are great actors. You say, who trained them? Sin. If that's what you want and you'll leave me alone. Yeah, I love you. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That was the most awesome sermon I ever heard. Yeah. And the point I was going to get to, the major, which you had to listen to the minor. Therefore, my dear brothers, it means brothers and sisters, girls don't get out of it. Stand firm. Do what I tell you. Even though the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket, everybody's doing wrong, you do the right thing. Isn't that what you tell your kids when you're growing up? I don't care what the neighbor kids did. You don't do that. I go, well, what's the deal here? I should have been born with neighborhood kids. Let nothing move you. Don't get discouraged. In Corinthians, we're under such scrutiny and such worldly stuff. It's hard to keep living the Christian life, and everything is terrible, and you want to stop. Well, if you don't do it, why should I do it too? Don't you ever have an attitude when people are hateful that you'd like to just be hateful back? I mean, in a kind of a spiritual, kind of loving way. Yeah, it is a struggle. It's hard. And God is saying, it's okay. Listen. Don't give up. Keep going. There's more to it than that. Watch. Oh, well. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Hello? If you're here and there's trash, and I said, take it over to the dumpster, and you go, I'm taking trash out, I will slap you upside the head. Are you a child of God? Get that trash over there. I turned into my mama somehow. I don't know how that worked. He says, fully give yourself to the work of the Lord. If you've been in ministry as long as I have, sometimes you look at it and you go, what the heck was I thinking? What did I do this for? I can't even tell you times that I did things without thinking because I knew they were right for God and I just sucked it up and did it. And then you look back and you go, what the heck? God said, that's all right, that's right. I want you to know it's very important. Fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do you understand? Is that one day we're going to stand before God? And he's not going to bring up all the ugly things about your life because Jesus paid for it. Isn't that awesome? Because I wouldn't want to stand there if they're going to talk about everything about my life. Okay. But he's just going to say, you know, you've been faithful. Listen to me. Everybody's different because you remember the talents that were given out in Scripture? One guy got one guy got three, one guy got five, something like that. One got 20, one got none. You know, people get different gifts, smarts. You know, there are people in school that just irritate dirt out of me. Because they get to go, yeah, A. I go, yeah, what? You know, it's just how people are. Some people could look at something and just do it automatically. And you're like, how'd you know to do that? I hate you. In love. So God said, listen, I gave all of you different. When you were born in the world, did you have a, before you were born, You know, while you're waiting to get born, you know, there's a religion that talks like this. But when you're ready to get born, you're in heaven, and you got this little certificate, and you say, I want to be born with some rich people. Yes, and I want to be a super smart. A lot of money. A really fast car. Faster than I have. It's greedy. I want. You didn't get that, did you? Man, when I was born to poor folk. Poor. You guys don't even understand what I'm talking about. Poor. I mean, we were so poor, I didn't even know we were poor. I thought we were okay. Poor, I mean. I thought we were okay, but we were poor. I mean, super poor. But at the time, I didn't even know. Everybody, you know, kids would get toys. Sometimes in my old way of thinking, I go, why do you give the kids so many toys? I mean, when I grew up, my folks would say, get out and play. There wasn't no toys. I mean, you had found a stick. You tried to build an army, play a game, draw on the ground, hit something. You know, that was your toy. Man, yeah, your brother and getting really bad trouble. And you went back in the house and came back out with a different attitude. But we get a paper box. We thought, heaven, look at that. We got a fort. We got all kinds of stuff. I'm saying is we buy so much junk for kids and things that they think that they own. Right? That's my toy now. I used to, when my kids were growing up, they'd say, this is mine. And I'd put it on the floor and I'd go, is that yours? That's mine, Daddy. And you can have it. Oh, they have a fit. I say, listen, everything you have, we gave you. It's mine. Isn't it weird how life changes? And I think to myself when I read this mystery of Jesus, saying that one day we're going to change and get this great body. There won't be no more hip replacements. Jeff, I just want you to know. Bill, it's too late for you. You had it. Mary, you're totally out. But, you know, you might want to talk to Jeff a little bit to encourage him because he's never been in the hospital to have any kind of surgery. Stick the needles in you. You'd be all right. See, I want to encourage you. Do you realize why I shouldn't be in ministry yet? I am one sick puppy and I'm here. But I just want to tell you this. One day this is going to happen and we're going to be there together. And it's going to be so awesome. And we're going to meet all of our loved ones that have gone to heaven. And I'm talking about partying, Jack. I'm not talking, we're going to party. Say, we're going to party in heaven? Yeah. Well, I thought the only place you party was a bar. No, stupid. Here's a stick. Go out in the yard. You can party with a stick in the yard. Amen. So I'm just telling you, one day we're going to be changing. We're going to be awesome. Wayne, there won't be no more brace jack and none of that stuff. No more memories of all the stuff that we've gone through. Won't be any of that. I mean, you probably keep the woman around close, you know. Even though you're really not married, but you're just great buds and just together. she won't let you get away anyway, because I just understand how women are. Isn't it good to know that there's something greater waiting for us one day? So good to be with you today. So good to be an encouragement to know that we're going to make it with Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Son, Jesus, for all he's done for us. And not keeping us in the dark, but sharing with us the promises that we're going to get. The things that are going to happen to us. The good things. Great things. Lord, I thank you for these people, that you're just great and marvelous. I pray that you'll bless them today and help us to enjoy it, and knowing the mystery that one day we'll be in heaven forever with brand new bodies and never die and never see a doctor and never have another problem or ache or pain. Awesome. We love you, Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.